Welcome to Support After Abortions podcast. My name is Nathan Masserian, and I'll be hosting a dedicated series called Men Healing from Trauma. In our culture, men are not validated who've experienced trauma through miscarriage, pregnancy loss, or even abortion. Through this series, you'll hear firsthand experiences. You'll also hear from clergy, clinicians, and experts in the field of healing to provide practical ways that both men and women can heal from the impact of abortion. I'm Nathan Masserian with Support After Abortion. I have the privilege and honor to work with men across the country to provide and facilitate healing for men who've been impacted by abortion. I'm so happy to introduce to you today Ton Reinschmidt, who has a very unique perspective on a chance to connect with men before an abortion experience has happened, or as you're going to learn from his story, men who've had an abortion experience and are in a waiting room thinking about the next abortion experience. So Todd, welcome to the podcast. We're so glad to have you. I'd love for you to introduce yourself and walk us through what we've talked about offline about the unique opportunities you've had to serve men in this unique part of their life.
Well, Nathan, thank you for having me on. It's my honor and privilege to be here to share what I have learned. My name is Todd Reinschmidt. I live in Venice, Florida. I'm the former director of a program that I developed called Rookie Dads. I was a former family and children youth pastor at a church here in Venice and was contacted by the executive director at the time of Pregnancy Solutions, the pregnancy center here. And she just kind of randomly out of the blue said, "Hey, Todd, would you be willing to come in and talk to this guy? We've got men that come in periodically and we're just a bunch of women and we don't really know exactly what to say to them." And I said, "Okay, what exactly does that mean? Let's talk about that. I'm happy to explore that with you." So that led me to volunteering a few hours a week, just being present in there, and kind of it would indicate when they would have, and they knew they would have an appointment with a man coming. And the idea was just to talk with them about what they're going through as they're facing the current pregnancy situation. And what we found is that we were being very successful at helping them navigate the extreme emotions of the current situation, the fear that often is there. And so we found that we were really onto something, that we were actually saving babies' lives. Women and men were changing their decisions about abortion to keep the baby because we were able to intervene with both the female and the male and provide some information that was helpful in their decision processing. So that led to trying to do this more and more and have men in the pregnancy center at all times. And so that essentially led to the creation of Rookie Dads, where I would train and equip volunteer coaches, we call them. And these coaches would take shifts like the female volunteers would and sit in the center and be ready and prepared for when men would come in. We thought so that we could address the current pregnancy situation. What I found oftentimes was not only was there a current pregnancy situation, but that there for many men had been previous pregnancy situations. And at least some percentage of those were aborted. And so a lot of the guys that were coming in, this was not their first time, and their first time was an abortion experience. So that's I found myself now not only needing to address current fears and situations about finances and living situations and relationship issues and all the kinds of things that create complications for the current pregnancy situation, but now I had to address their previous experiences, and I saw a tremendous need for healing. And so it was while all this was taking place, support after abortion was being birthed out of that same pregnancy center, Pregnancy Solutions. And because we saw not only from the female side, but also the male side, this tremendous need for healing and for people who had had abortion experiences previously. And we found that just simply by talking and engaging with these men in a non-threatening manner, they could enter into a level of vulnerability that would allow for them to reveal these previous abortion experiences.
Todd, I'd like to just come in with you. So often I hear the question from volunteers, whether they're sidewalk advocates, people in a pregnancy center, in a church, as neighbors. No one has mastered the way to have that conversation. So I think you have something really unique to share. Would you give a couple examples of how you, in a non-threatening way, engage the men and create a safe place, a safe zone where they might share a past abortion experience?
Yeah. So, you know, all of those, whether it's sidewalk counseling or whatever it is, you're talking about a ministry. And I am just a firm believer that all ministry, every kind of ministry that exists, is relational. And it's important to sort of formulate, even if it's a 5 second, 10 second, 30 second, 1 minute lead time, you try to formulate a relational connection so that having done that, you can then start to go deeper than talking about weather sports. But it's important, especially with the men, to talk about weather and sports first. And so oftentimes these men would come into the room, and that was sometimes a challenge. You know, we would invite, we wouldn't force, but we would invite them to come back to a room, a private room, while the woman was being ministered to. And, you know, when I got him back there, I literally would talk to him on the way back there. Hey, you know, are you taking that time off of work to be here? Where do you work? Do you live in the area where, you know, just sort of setting his mind at ease by talking about things that are non-threatening. And so I know that when you're on a sidewalk outside of an abortion clinic, you're thinking, I've got very limited time here. I got to get right to the point. But I'm telling you from my experience, that 30 seconds that you can talk about where they live, what their job is, you know, what team do they follow in sports, you know, that 30 seconds, 1 minute. And when we would sit down in the room, I mean, I would take a few minutes, 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes to talk about who they are, their story, their interests, how long they've been in, you know, how long have they known the woman? And just anything that was sort of bring their emotional level down. Because when their emotional level comes down, then you can start to go a little bit deeper. And oftentimes I would go deeper by going through with myself. I would talk about struggles that I've had. While I don't have a personal abortion story myself or experience myself, I have experienced hard times. I have experienced trauma in my life. I have experienced making unwise decisions in my life. Oftentimes I will bring up my addiction experience and my triumph over that, and as a way to sort of build a bridge and build a connection. Usually those more extreme experiences that I could bring up of hardship and difficulty in my own life, it just helps them to feel more comfortable. And I try to do that, obviously, as quickly as I can. I know that my time is limited in this appointment as well. But it's 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes that's well worth it, so that I can bring that emotional level down of this young man, so that I can start to talk about deeper questions with him. And I'll ask him about what's going on today, where he's at, what his fears are. And as he starts to reveal vulnerable things, oftentimes little clues will come. If he doesn't directly state it's not his first pregnancy, little clues will come that prompt me to ask. And then I'll ask him about how that went, what happened. And then we talk about that.
So thinking about being in that room, fly in the wall, you're talking with a guy who you've just met, never met before. From your experience, what is the impact of his previous abortion experiences? What is on that man's heart? How has he been changed? What sort of perspective is he bringing into that first meeting? That's one. And then secondly, how do you try to adjust that point of view?
Sure. I would say the dominant emotion and feeling that most of those men are bringing into that is a message of shame. It's a feeling of shame. It's a feeling of not being good enough. There's a guilt and a shame that is just most of the time suppressed. They have buried it somewhere. And you know, just even talking about it can, I mean, I had guys that started to get really agitated and upset, and I said, which is an emotion. And I had guys that started to get really weepy and sort of tearful and also expressing that emotion. But that previous abortion experience, the shame involved in that, sometimes the anger involved in that, the heightened emotions is impacting their ability to think clearly about the current pregnancy situation. It's kind of blocking their prefrontal cortex from thinking wisely and rationally. And there's a trauma involved there. And that trauma has really done some brain damage. It's damaged that prefrontal cortex from being able to do that. So their shame and their guilt and they're not feeling good enough and they can't see that if they make that same decision, it's going to even deepen or worsen those emotions. They feel like they just continue to stuff. The brain sort of says, we don't like these things. We don't like these emotions. So we're going to set them aside. We know a way, we know a path of avoidance. And we're just going to follow that path. That path is, we're going to make the same decision. We're going to stuff and we're going to ignore and move on in life. Of course, what we've come to understand is that that's a lie. And so what we try to do and what I tried to do was to separate lies from truth. And as we move from the lie of the shame and the guilt and the not feeling good enough and I'm never going to be good enough, as we move from those lies, because we know that those are not from God, towards truth of the fact that, you know, we all make mistakes and we all do things that we regret and that God still loves us and that, you know, I don't always turn it into a faith-based conversation, but, you know, we sort of start to move into this message of acceptance and love for who we are as a person, regardless of the things and the stuff and the behaviors that we do, some of which is good, some of which is not. So that's the pathway towards this transition in thinking and in the local pregnancy center, apart from sort of abortion healing, because we're sort of working on a current urgent situation of the current pregnancy. You know, we want to try to move them into that frame of thinking that's a bit more positive so that we can then start to talk to them about the current situation. And then over time, you know, our goal is to get these guys to come back to another appointment, come back to another opportunity to talk more. And that's what Rookie Dads was all about. And as we would have future appointments, we would start to intercede on the healing side of things with this young man.
So just to clarify the approach, as you work on that steering from one direction to the next, just to say it plainly, your goal is to have the man advocate to keep the baby, to want to keep the baby. So maybe you could just speak to that. Often I'm hearing men who have had an abortion experience will say, I wish I would have spoken up. So how do you speak to men who are in that situation right now, who are watching, listening to this, they're in unplanned pregnancy? Our culture would say it's the woman's body. It's her right to choose. What's the role of the man from the guys you've spoken with and people who are watching?
Yeah. This? Thank you, Nathan. Absolutely. The most common thing I heard was, you know, it's your body. I'll support whatever you decide. And I'll say it is her body, but it's your baby as well. Mm-hmm. And because of that very fact, and I'll make sure that he understands that, you know, that it's the two of you that combined for this conception to take place. And because of that, that baby is yours also. And that while it's loving to say, while you think it's loving to say, I'll support whatever you decide, that woman is really, truly, based on all of our experience, that woman is needing to hear from you a firm decision on your part, your opinion, your thought process. And whether it's you want to get rid of it, you should firmly, clearly state that, because she is needing to hear from you a definitive opinion on your part. Or if you're feeling like, you know, you really do want to keep this baby, you're not really sure what the path is, and you're super scared, she needs to hear that. And so this wishy-washy, I'll support whatever you decide, I'm going to give all the power to you, which is going to make me feel better on a subconscious level, is not a loving response. And so those are things that I would press myself into as a coach to be able to say, as graciously and as lovingly, and again, as non-threateningly as possible. There's a lot of validation of what he's saying. So I validate what he's saying. I understand why you would say that. I understand that that's how you would feel. However, and we would steer. And so that validation is super important, so he doesn't start to get agitated, feeling like he's being judged and attacked. If you don't validate what they're saying, doesn't mean you have to agree with it. It just means that you're acknowledging what they're saying. That validation it's a strategy that I find is not often used, but it's so critical to the success of the conversation.
I'd like to just stay on that moment, if you don't mind, on validation. One of the members of our Support After Abortion Task Force, a Christian counselor who's been working with men and abortion for 25 years, his name is Greg Hasek, speaks to the need for validating the trauma that men have experienced. And one of the things that he has said, and in our culture validates trauma if you served in the military, for example. And so it's widely talked about if you have PTSD as a veteran or an active service member, that's almost revered as something meaningful, but it's not revered or even in the same conversation that an abortion experience leads to trauma. And so what are just some practical tips that people can say that validate somebody's experience? And maybe just you could use me as an example if you wanted to make that personal. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Nathan, I hear what you're saying. And what you are saying is very true. The world and the common culture around us does say, in fact, that in acts of war and in first responders, this is very commonly known. PTSD and trauma is expected in those situations. You know, so you see what I did there. That was me practicing a little bit with you. Validation is, in some part, in a practical sense, it's a little bit of mirroring what the person just said, in a way that helps them to feel heard. So the point of validating is for them to feel heard, because when I feel heard, I feel known and seen. And a person that has experienced an abortion, a person that has gone through that kind of trauma, that feels that heightened level of shame, that shame said, you're not worthy to be seen, you're not worthy to be known. And so what they're needing is to be seen and known. And so when we mirror and we help them to feel heard, we're helping them to feel seen and known. And now, because they feel seen and known, again, that's going to allow for us, it's a bridge building effort. Now we're going to be able to have more challenging conversations, things enter into places that are deeper and often for them darker. So that part is really important when you're trying to validate, is do a little bit of mirroring, and then you're going to redirect slightly into the direction that you want the conversation to kind of go, to help help them to understand a truth that they're not really understanding at this point.
Yeah, Todd, that's so powerful. And I have, in a good way, goosebumps just picturing how that's done in real life. Thank you for really sharing your heart and that very relational approach. That's so important, not to be judgmental in that process.
Sure. Your listeners just really need to hear, you've got a way, and it's got to be done beforehand, before you enter into this time, whether you're going to be on the sidewalk outside of a clinic or in a pregnancy center, or you've got a family member, you know, and you're sitting on a couch in a home. If you if you don't prepare your own heart for these conversations, and you say things in a way that drives the person, either whether it shuts them down, whether the wall is literal or they physically are gone, you've eliminated the possibility of having an impact. And it's important to build those bridges and do those things that build those bridges, like validating, like building that relationship by talking about sports and weather first. If you do those things, you have created that bridge. But if you don't do those things, you've lost the opportunity. Now the person's gone, and you've whether you meant to or not, you've pushed them away, driven them away, either literally or figuratively, and now you have lost the opportunity to have an impact in their life. And so we want to make sure that we start well. Starting the well is so important. And that is a relational thing. And it's going to be not about what you think it's going to be about and what you think you even showed up for. It's going to be about something else so that you can get there.
For the pregnancy centers and maybe even churches who are listening and watching, could you just give us a little bit of a longer view of what the Rookie Dads program is designed to do? You mentioned it's some curriculum, it's a multi-step engagement. Just give us a flyover, what's that like? And then maybe you just conclude with a story. If you think of a guy who's gone through it, it's kind of a neat success story you'd like to share.
Yeah, thank you. I think the design and what Rookie Dads, although I'm not currently involved anymore, but what Rookie Dads is designed to do and what we created it for was to be a support system, starting from the very first moment through the birth and the first couple of years stage of being a father. Our goal with Rookie Dads is to train and equip pregnancy centers and male volunteers to have this training, just like what we're talking about. We want to equip them with the resources and the ability through practice to be able to have these conversations and do them well so that we can be effective. And once we navigate through those decision processes with the young man, then we can enter into the sort of the second phase, which is a little bit of a longer portion of the program, which is support as a father. And if the current pregnancy doesn't go the way that we might want it to, if they don't keep the baby, whether it's through adoption or abortion, if the young man does have a previous abortion experience, then we kind of steer them towards resources like support after abortion for sort of long-term healing. If they stay with us, then we do a little bit of both. If the coach has some experience and has some equipping with abortion healing, then we kind of combine those services. So we do healing and father training all sort of on the same path. If the coach, the volunteer at a local center doesn't feel comfortable or doesn't have the experience or the equipping to be able to do the healing side of a previous abortion experience, but they do feel comfortable doing the father training and support there, then we sort of split it, and we would point towards resources like support after abortion for the healing process. And then the pregnancy center continues on with Rookie Dad program, the curriculum, the resources that we have, which are both in print, but the bread and butter of our Rookie Dads program is the relational communication over the topics that we cover to help this young man move from being, I can't be a good dad, to I can be a good dad. So a story, gosh, I was blessed to have several that were success stories, but I'm thinking of one where the young man came in, and getting him back to the room from the waiting room was a process that took quite some time, actually. And so we actually started the relational conversation out in the waiting room, and probably 5 or 10 minutes of very non-threatening surface level stuff before I was able to sort of convince him to come back with me to the what we call the Rookie Dad room. while his girlfriend was being ministered to, and she was taking a pregnancy test and all that. So when we got back to the room, he was pretty hardened and pretty quiet, didn't really talk. And if I got him to say anything, it was a one word answer. But through persistence, was able to help him express a fear. And he just sort of spurted out several of the fears that are normal when these situations come up. And that's one of the fears that he said is, I don't believe I can be a good dad. And as we explored the reasons behind that, they were both because he didn't have a dad in his life and because he had a previous abortion experience. And he felt that that act as, sort of supporting the abortion negated his ability to have any future potential as a good father. And so through conversation that ended in a positive way on the first appointment, we were able to, I just barely started to steer him in a different direction on day one, but it was enough of a seed of belief in him through that conversation, and just kind of steering him towards truth, that God reveals a path of redemption and reconciliation and healing and forgiveness. It was enough that he was able to talk with his girlfriend about not having an abortion with the current pregnancy. They ended up having that baby. And then we were able to, over time, start the process of both, and this was something I was doing, leading him through healing and leading him on a path of appropriate fatherhood skills. And they had the baby. I ended up staying with this young man, or he stayed with us, I should say, on the program for almost 2 years. And, just had a tremendous turnaround in his life, on a spiritual and an emotional level. I think that he still struggles sometimes when it comes to jobs and practical physical things, but on an emotional and spiritual level, there was a tremendous 180 degree turnaround. At least at the time when I was still involved, he and the girl were still together, caring for the baby and moving forward in a positive way. So I'm thankful to have that experience and that memory of not only saving that life, but we saved the life of the young man who was really spiritually and emotionally dead on the inside. And he was able to come alive through that effort.
That's so rich. And so just in summary, I want to say thank you for the work that you've done, the vision you had to lead through the program. I know you've trained the next generation of leaders and are mm-hmm. still involved in mentoring young people through Fellowship of Christian Athletes. So we're so thankful for your work there. As I just summarized some of the key things I'm hearing, it's never too late. And if you've had an abortion experience, there is hope and you're not alone. And that the lie is that you are isolated. And a word you didn't use, but I'll just summarize it, is you don't have to feel disqualified from that decision. Mm-hmm. There is a path to redemption and to healing. And I just appreciate Rookie Dads blending both the fatherhood and the healing together. So wise. One of the resources that are available is a book on supportafterabortion.com called Unraveled Roots. And Todd, you hinted at it several times in just our talk today, that you have a person has an abortion experience, but there are roots to that decision and father wounds, mother wounds, other sort of impacts that have happened lead and cloud judgment. And so we want to provide healing resources to get to the root of those decisions, as well as provide a life journey of ongoing healing. And I'll be helping to facilitate an Unraveled Men's group over the course of this year and training other leaders in that so that we can replicate ongoing healing locally, done online or done in person. So thank you so much for being on our podcast. Love the work that you've started, and seeing that continue to grow is, I'm sure, very affirming. And we're so grateful to have our connection together. Thanks so much for being on our podcast. Thank you for participating in today's broadcast. If you or someone you know has been impacted by abortion, we are here to help, and you are not alone. Our trained staff will meet you with compassion and confidentiality simply by visiting us at supportafterabortion.com There you'll find a confidential phone number and contact us, which our staff are standing by, ready to help you and be of assistance.